Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Several big breaking stories nationally and here at home as we join you on air here at 7 o'clock. Good evening. I'm Dan Haggerty.
And I'm Lena Tillett. Thanks so much for joining us. We begin with the new indictment of former President Donald Trump by a federal grand jury. He's facing four criminal charges in connection with efforts to overturn the 2020 election.
The special counsel Jack Smith delivered some remarks in the last hour and new reaction continues to pour in. WRL's Chris Lovingood leads our team coverage this evening with this historic move. Chris.
Let's go ahead and run through those charges, Dan. As Lena said, there are four total, all related attempts to overturn the results of the 2020 presidential election. Conspiracy to defraud the United States, conspiracy to obstruct an official proceeding, obstruction of an official proceeding, and conspiracy against the right to vote and to have that vote counted. Now, after the indictment was handed down, U.S. DOJ Special Counsel Jack Smith addressed reporters briefly to comment on this.
The attack on our nation's capital on January 6, 2021, was an unprecedented assault on the seat of American democracy. As described in the indictment, it was fueled by lies. Lies by the defendant targeted at obstructing a bedrock function of the U.S. government, the nation's process of collecting, counting, and certifying the results of the presidential election.
Now, today's indictment only adds to the former president's legal trouble. You'll recall he was already involved in several investigations, including the classified documents found at Mr. Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate in Florida, the January 6th insurrection, election interference in Georgia, and hush money payments made to adult film star Stormy Daniels. Now, the indictment in total is 45 pages long, and behind the scenes here at WRAL, we are going through each one of those. But the key thing here is that prosecutors are going to try to prove that not only did former President Trump lie, but that he knew what he was saying was in fact not true.
Got it. Okay, Chris, thank you.
Mark Boyle is in the Live Center following reaction on this. Mark?
Lena, the Trump campaign now with a statement right now on your screen. Part of that statement, as Mr. Trump and his team are trying to get out ahead of this indictment. It reads in part, this is nothing more than the latest corrupt chapter in the continued pathetic attempt by the Biden crime family and their weaponized Department of Justice to interfere with the 2024 presidential election. It goes on to say, this is reminiscent of Nazi Germany in the 1930s. In this next statement, digging into this indictment, 45 pages, there are some allegations Trump made, like more than 10,000 dead voters in Georgia, more than 200,000 more Pennsylvania votes still out there. That suspicious vote dump in Detroit, 30,000 non-citizen voters out in Arizona, and voting machines had switched votes. Those are just some of the really specific examples in this indictment. The New York Times putting out a poll about an hour or so before this news. If the election was right now, this is how the voters, registered voters, would vote. 43% for Biden, 43% for Mr. Trump, if they were to be head-to-head in this election. Back to you.
Of course, it's a long time between now and Election Day. Mark, we'll, of course, keep everyone at home updated as we continue to cover this groundbreaking and this historic story for our country. Now to another big story back here at home following in Raleigh. In the last 30 minutes, police shared some new information about three investigations all in the same part of town. Officers say one person was found with a gunshot wound on Glenwood Avenue. That was near Creedmoor Road. A second person found shot at a nearby Food Lion. Investigators were also at a Walmart in that area at the same time. WRL's Willie Danley is live in the breaking news tracker outside of the Food Lion on Leadmine Road. What can you tell us, Willie?
Well, Dan, there's a whole lot going on in this area. As you can see at this Food Lion on Leadmine, there's a very big scene behind me. I'm actually going to step behind the camera and show you what we're seeing here. As you can see, there are several officers out here talking to people in this parking lot. Police did confirm with us that there was an adult male that was shot. He was taken to the hospital with serious injuries. This is a very packed parking lot. People are trying to get to their cars, but they can't while police have this whole area sectioned off. And this is actually one of three crime scenes that are being investigated right now. If you take a look at your screen, you can see the Walmart scene. They have a Walmart that's near Glenwood Avenue that's blocked off right now as police are investigating what exactly is going on. In that third third scene is at Glenwood and Creedmoor, where police are responding to a person shot. There was a woman shot in that area, and there was a car that was also crashed. All three of these areas are currently blocked off while investigators work on figuring out what exactly happened here. And we're working to figure out what the conditions are of all of those people who were transported to the hospital. We're going to continue to follow these stories and keep you up to date with what we find out. Back to you, Dan.
All right, Willie Danley, live in Raleigh. Thanks, Willie.
We're also staying on top of breaking news we've been following all afternoon in Durham, where three people were shot in South Elm Street. Video from WRAL Sky 5 shows the law enforcement response to this area around 1:30 this afternoon. WRAL's Monica Casey spent several hours on the scene here, where we learned a teen boy was among those taken to the hospital.
I'm Monica Casey in Durham, where multiple people were shot in broad daylight this afternoon right in front of a park. All three men have non-life-threatening injuries. More than 20 evidence markers are spread out across South Elm Street near Angier Avenue. Neighbors here tell me they feared for their lives as this was happening.
Two guys were running through right here at Hosiery Mill. I couldn't see their description. It was happening so fast. Only thing I was trying to do was get in my house.
Durham police say this car wrecked against a utility pole is believed to be involved. They tell me a juvenile who was in the car also has non-life-threatening injuries from the crash. The mobile command unit has been here on scene today as well, and Durham police say this is believed to be an isolated incident. Back to you.
Monica Casey reporting. Thank you. Right now, loved ones are gathering for a candlelight vigil in Moore County of a Moore County woman who's been missing now for about 2 weeks. The vigil, as new documents identify Alicia Watts' boyfriend, James Dunmore, as a person of interest in her disappearance. WRL's Julian Grace live in Southern Pines, where this vigil is just getting underway. Julian.
That's right, Dan. That vigil has started. It started about 5 minutes or so ago. And this crowd right here, they are determined to bring Alicia Watts home. Let me step out of the way of the camera so you can get a look at the crowd that is here. Now, this evening, family and friends of Alicia Watts, they arrived back to the parking lot to pray and encourage each other. Last week, there were a couple of hundred here. This evening, the crowd may be smaller, but the desire to find Alicia remains strong. Tonight, we will hear from pastors in this community, friends, and possibly family members. And then after the vigil is over, those working behind the scenes are planning another trip to Charlotte. This time, the goal is to hold a vigil in Charlotte in attempts to find Alicia. We will have all new interviews for you tonight at 10 and 11. Dan?
Oh, okay. Julian Grace, I know how that community is suffering there, waiting for answers. Life Force in Southern Pines, thank you, Julian. Our team coverage of this case continues right now on WRL.com. If you go on there, you'll find a timeline of her disappearance as well as her boyfriend's criminal history.
The countdown is on to the start of the school year for thousands of students, parents, and teachers in Johnston County. And this will be the first full year where all school buildings will have a weapons detection system in place. WRAL's Brett Neese joining us live now from Clayton Middle School with what that will look like for those going through those doors. Brett.
Yeah, Lena, hard to believe the school right around the corner. All the schools here in Johnston County now have a sign out front like this. Part of it reads, no weapons are allowed on campus. That weapons detection system that we're talking about is right through these doors. Parents tonight tell me they're grateful that every school in this district now has one.
Summer isn't quite over, but some parents can't wait for the school year to start.
I'm glad it's almost over. They can go back to school and stop eating me out of house and home.
Today, hundreds of Johnston County parents and their students stopped by schools like Clayton Middle for the district's summer information fair.
We invite families to come out and get information for transportation, school, nutrition, enrollment information. It's essentially a one-stop shop.
While parents gear up with information, the school system is gearing up with security. It will be the first year all of its schools will have a weapons detection system.
All of our guests, no matter who they are, will come through them. And it's just an extra layer of security for our most precious asset, which is our students.
The main doors at all the schools are now equipped with an evolved weapons detection system. It uses radio frequency sensors with artificial intelligence for screening to make sure no one brings things like guns or knives into a building.
So if the system were to go off, there's a select group of people at the campuses who are trained to know what to do.
The district began installing these systems back in March. Parents say the $6 million investment by the school is well worth it.
I'm telling you, these kids are so easy to get their hands on things these days, as well as the adults. So you don't never know what's going to happen. Just as long as my kids are safe, I'm good to go.
So each school actually has two sets of these systems. One is at the main entrance of all the schools. The second one is placed at an alternate entrance, like where buses drop off. That second one is also portable, so they can actually use it at different events, other heavily attended events like football games throughout the year. Lena?
Very interesting. That mom saying, as long as my kids are safe, I'm good to go. I think a lot of parents would agree with that. Brittany's reporting live for us in Clayton. Thank you.
Wake County educators now have another option to stock up on school supplies for the upcoming school year without having to dip into their own pockets. The Wake Ed Partnership Tools for School Classroom Supply Shop opened today for teachers and certified staff. The classroom supplies are purchased by the Wake Ed Partnership or donated by different community partners. Teachers are then given points to use. They have to sign up ahead of time to get a spot. Teachers can do so on the Wake Ed Partnership website. Got to support our teachers. Coming up on our news here at 7 o'clock, 2 weeks after that tornado ripped through Nash and Edgecombe counties, a new lifeline to help with recovery.
What a disaster declaration could mean for one of the hardest hit communities. Kat?
And the skies are quiet tonight, which is great news to see a rocket launch. I'll let you know when and where to look and when you can see the ISS pass as well coming up.
Traffic is moving smoothly again on I-85 at the Virginia-North Carolina line after a crash between two tractor trailers, and it closed down all southbound lanes for at least 2 hours. Highway Patrol investigators tell WRAL a tractor trailer carrying yogurt rear-ended another truck carrying laminate flooring. Moments later, we're told, look at that, a fire started in one of the trucks and then spread to the other. You can see all the aftermath here. Both drivers are expected to be okay. Charges are pending. Today, Governor Cooper joined some of the state's top leaders to celebrate North Carolina's latest big win on the national stage. He met with business and education leaders for a ceremony at Central Piedmont Community College in Charlotte to celebrate the recent CNBC ranking. That one, of course, named North Carolina as the top state for business for the second year in a row. The governor credits the state's well-trained and diverse workforce and called on more investments to keep the momentum going in the years ahead.
Chase Bank will continue to add its growing presence in the Carolinas. Today, the bank announced plans to add 6 new branches in the Triangle, bringing the total number of branches in the region to 21. Those new branches are expected to be up and running by the end of next year. It's not just the Triangle, though. Of course, additional branches are also coming to Charlotte and Greensboro. You can read more about the expansion and why the company chose North Carolina right now on WRAL TechWire. Applications are now open for this year's Farm Family of the Day program for the 2023 State Fair. This is the third year for the program, which is meant to recognize families working in agriculture. 11 families will be honored this year. Winning families will get a gift basket full of prizes. Applications are available online. The 2023 State Fair runs from October 12th to the 22nd.
Some much-needed relief is coming for the Nash County town hit so hard by the EF3 tornado 2 weeks ago. Today, Governor Cooper signed a state disaster declaration for the town of Dorchester. The order gives the green light for additional public assistance grants to help with storm recovery there. Initial estimates indicate more than $10,000 in damage, but that's just initial.
It's going to be a long road for those folks. If you look into the sky tonight, just after 8:30, you might catch a glimpse of the rocket launching from Wallops Island in Virginia. NASA's rocket launch is slated for 8:31 tonight. It won't be visible in Rocky Mount or Raleigh, though, until about 90 seconds or 2 minutes after that launch. That's because of the Earth's curvature. If conditions are right, we hope they are, you should be able to catch another glimpse of it around 4 minutes after that launch when the second engine lights. This should be cool. I hope to see it.
I know you're looking forward to watching it with your kiddos. Meteorologist Kat Campbell joining us now. So tell us, where should we be looking in our area?
You'll want to look off to the east, and we have a picture on WRAL News with our story linked here of kind of what it would look like in the sky. But here's what you need to know. So it's going to be launching from Wallops Island in Virginia right around here, and the northeastern part of
our viewing areas. So this includes areas like Roanoke Rapids, Lake Gaston, as well as Oxford. We're going to be looking in Rocky Mount. You'll want to look around a minute and a half to 2 minutes after the launch. And the launch is at 8:31. So that's going to put you at 8:32 and 30 seconds, or and 2 minutes after that, so 8:33. And then for Raleigh, Fayetteville, the Triangle, we're looking at 8:33 to 8:33.5. So it's very exact, but you want to look up to the sky at those times to get a better feel for it. And we posted that graphic on our social media pages as well if you need another look. But while you're out there, you know, if you're already out there at 8:30, maybe head out for a walk and then look up again at 9:02. You're going to see the ISS. It's visible for 6 minutes. Look to the northwest this time to see the ISS. Should be a great pass tonight. So there's all kinds of things to see in the sky. We've got two supermoons for the month of August. Really cool stuff happening. Outside, we do not have really any storms in our viewing area. Just one shower in the southern tip of Sampson County here. Elsewhere, things are quiet. Just a little ground clutter that you see on the radar. So that's not rain around the triangle. We are watching high pressure build into our north. It has a clockwise flow around it. Because of that, we've got a nice northeast wind at the surface, a northwest wind aloft, and those things are coming together to really give us a beautiful weather pattern. We're likely to be dry tomorrow. It should be a less humid day, a very comfortable day if you want to head outside, get some yard work done. Thursday, it's just a small chance for rain, but Thursday night into Friday, that's going to be our next best chance for rain. So just keep that in mind. You may need to pay close attention to Friday's forecast if you are trying to get yard work done then. Tomorrow, you're not going to be dodging the rain, though, more than likely. High temperatures in the upper 80s, lower humidity. It is just going to be an absolutely beautiful day. Try to plan something outside. By the time we get to Thursday, we're still dry during the first part of the day, but we could see some rain start to push in Thursday evening into Thursday night. And I'll say this run of Futurecast, it is a low resolution model, so I think it's showing more rain than we would actually see. But you can see the trend here for a wetter day in the forecast on Friday, better storm chances. So we're going to keep an eye on this as the high resolution model data becomes available. Check in for an update as we get closer to the weekend, but I think Friday is going to be your best chance for rain. Outside tonight in Sanford, a bright blue sky. It's a beautiful evening. There was a cool mural there on one of the buildings as well. Temperatures tonight should be very, very comfortable. Mid-60s in the Triangle. Doesn't get much better than that for August. And Rocky Mount 63, Fayetteville 68 degrees. Your 7-day forecast, not bad for the remainder of the work week, but we are going to see more clouds push in Thursday and Friday. And as we cloud up, our temperatures will be even lower. Mid-80s for highs those days. The weekend, though, not so much. We're right back into the 90s, which, you know, low 90s, really not bad for early August, but the mid 90s are in store for next week. Lena and Dan.
All right. Thanks, Kat.
Some good news for people looking to buy a home in Wake County. Home prices are down. We'll tell you how much they've dropped and what you can expect to pay. Duke Health wants to figure out how artificial intelligence can improve health care. The group signed a 5-year partnership with Microsoft. The two will create an innovation lab to explore how AI and cloud technology can improve patient care. The partnership will start with researching ways to automate those administrative tasks and also personalizing patient education. The price of buying a home in Wake County dropped last month. New data released today shows the median home price in July was $465,000. That's still a lot, but it was down $10,000 from June. The number of homes that sold also dropped. 1,787 homes sold, nearly 300 fewer than the month before.
Clear the shelters. You know this, NBC's annual pet adoption campaign. It kicks off today and continues all month long. So each day, WRL will highlight a participating shelter in our area, let you know what they have going on. Today's shelter spotlight is on Safe Haven for Cats, located in Raleigh. One of their furry friends looking for a forever home is 2-month-old orange tabby Snorfette, which is just a great name. She's just the cutest, has lots of energy and a lot of love to give. So look for some adoptions there. There's also check out 3-month-old Kalajara, On the left, she came from a shelter in Johnson County, loves toys apparently, and on the right is McGrath, an 11-year-old male who still loves to explore, is very friendly, all these great additions to the family. You can find the entire list of shelters for this year's Clear the Shelters campaign by going to WRL.com and searching shelters.
The Mega Millions craze is growing, and tonight you could become a multimillionaire. The jackpot for tonight's drawing, an estimated $1.1 billion. So if you get lucky and match all the numbers, you could take the lump sum of nearly $550 million in cash. And you can watch that drawing live right here on WRAL at 11 o'clock. Let's talk about the Carolina Panthers if you want to take a look at the 2023 team. And Charlotte is just a bit too long of a drive. You can catch FanFest right here on WRAL tomorrow at 7. It will be airing in place of our 7 o'clock news. You'll see number one overall pick quarterback Bryce Young and the rest of the team. That sounds mean. WRAL's Pat Welter will be there to cover the event. We'll have live reports before and after.
Good luck to Bryce and all those other people. While sports fans may be laser focused on, let's say, the World Cup, the women's team playing pretty well, or the football season with Bryce and the other guys, there's another sport growing in popularity, and both football and soccer fans are sure to enjoy it, I guess. Tech ball is what it's called. It uses a lot of technical skill. Two tech ball players joined WRL's Jeff Hogan live outside the WRL studios here during a 9 a.m. hour to teach him a little bit about the sport. He actually did pretty darn well, especially, you see, it says live up there in the corner. Could you imagine having to do this live? So the goal is to become an Olympic sport in the 2028 Games.
Wow.
You can see more about how tech ball is played and more from this morning's demonstrations right now on WRAL.com. You know, I can catch a football. I can shoot a basketball. I am nowhere even close to being able to do any of this.
All the things. And ping pong, it looks like. You just have to have incredible eye-hand coordination. And, I mean, Jeff, he did great today.
Impressive. It would have been pretty embarrassing for me to be on live television trying this.
Yeah, a little dangerous,
like,
too.
I think you could do it.
No,
I'm such
a klutz. Somebody would have got hurt. No, do not do that to me live. Thanks so much for making WRAL your choice for local news.
Our next newscast is 10 o'clock on Fox 50 and right back here at 11 on WRAL. Have a great night.
Watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.